And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, we are number one of the Triple Dipper. That last little discussion that we had with Terry Lathan regarding school choice and what's happening with the Price Act, well, that was part of, you ready, Boomer? That was part of cooking up some home fries. Nice. Nice. Hey, I'll turn to the text line real quick. Got a few. Tom over in Tanner says, Phil is going to seriously hurt himself saying Mississippi. Mississippi. Yeah, thanks, Tom. Kenneth from Hartsell says, thank you so much for that conversation with Terry. She's an intelligent and great leader. All right. Thank you, man. I appreciate that, and I agree. Rita from Scottsboro says, I will never wear anything from Maybelline again. There you go, Rita. That's right, because real women don't need Maybelline. Only fake women, apparently. Okay, we'll wait and see how Maybelline sales go.
I'm interested.
I'm curious.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. That's women's stuff, right? So, and then of course Bud Light is, I guess technically is not man or woman, although it was kind of a dude's thing, really. But so what? All right. If you and I were talking, this is a total aside, Boomer. What if there was some product line that like dudes rely on, like something that we like a dude thing.
I mean,
and Dylan Mulvaney became,
a sponsor for Winchester.
Oh,
or something of that nature.
Smith & Wesson.
I'd be done.
I'm hawking some guns at that point. I'm down at the pawn shop seeing how much I can
get for them.
They haven't
thought this through yet, I guess, if they want to get rid of it.
So a gun control.
That's how they...
That's what's going to happen. So the gun control advocates are going to crush the Second Amendment by just having Dylan Mulvaney be the spokesperson for every one of their firearms.
That's what it would be.
That's awesome.
And that's not... Yeah, obviously, that's not just a man thing. But, I mean, generally, I mean, my wife doesn't necessarily like, you know...
Well, there's some shooting women out there.
Oh, there are. I have a couple of friends that are good.
Yeah, like...
good marksmen.
I'm pretty sure I could be embarrassed quite easily by some... all right, home fries, we're going to move along. We're going to probably go through the top of the hour with some things that are happening around your state, things you got to know. First of all, Yellowhammer News is reporting that the House of Representatives in Alabama has just approved the general fund budget. So just a quick reminder, if you don't know... in Alabama, we're one of the only states in the nation that does this. We have what's called a bifurcated budget. We have two budgets. Everything, most states have a budget, right? And the legislature is allowed to appropriate. And if you got a gap over here, you slide some over and fill it. And that's like what we do in our house, right? You don't keep two budgets. I mean, you may have multiple checking accounts or whatever, but the reality is you have a household budget. And if you knew for a fact, let's say husband and wife have two incomes, right? And the mortgage was due, but the husband's income was short and the wife's income wasn't, and it could cover it. You're not going to say, well, we can't do that because it's in your checkbook, not in mine. It's your house. Well, in Alabama, we don't do that. Go figure. But the House has just approved the general fund budget, which is everything except education. All God's children are in the general fund budget except for education. So the House just approved a general fund budget, which is going to be a 6% increase over the previous year, 6%. And it will become the largest budget in state history. That's significant. Now, keep in mind, that's in conjunction with us asking for tax breaks, right? You've got more money than you've ever had. You're passing the biggest budget you've ever had. And by the way, it's going to the Senate, so it's not through yet. It's just through the House. But it passed the House on a vote of 105-0. It was only 105 members in the House. Every one of them voted yes. Okay. I find that to be a little bit curious because usually you have a few dissenters. Usually there's some, you know, partisan-based means by which you want to object. I mean, I've voted on multiple budgets before. I get it. I know you can vote for it. But still, 105-0. That's significant. Must be a really darn good budget, but then at the same time, I hope that means that they recognize they've got so much money that somewhere in here there needs to be some tax relief for the citizens who send that money to Montgomery. Every state agency in Alabama requested an increase in their budget for 2024. You know why? Because they smelled increase. Like, there's more money. Ask for it. Among the notable increases included a $112 million hike to the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency. That's our state troopers and all. $836 million increase to Medicaid. Oh, boy. And a $662 million increase to the Department of Corrections. Holy smokes. All right. So there's that. Be aware, your budget, your state, your tax dollars, bigger than ever. Now, in the course of this discussion, I just mentioned tax relief. One of the biggest forms of tax relief that we're looking at right now is potentially doing away with the grocery tax. Aside from the fact that Alabama is one of the only states in the nation that has split budgeting, we're also one of the only states in the nation that taxes groceries. Don't ask me why. We just do. Your milk and bread going to cost you more. And if you were to live on the Georgia state line, the Mississippi state line, the Tennessee state line, and you wanted to step across to buy your bread, I'm just saying it might be cheaper. At least 40% or 4 cents on the dollar. I'm sorry, not 40%. 4 cents on the dollar cheaper. But 1819 News reports that House Minority Leader Democrat Anthony Daniels, who's been on this show most recently, says there are serious conversations about eliminating sales tax on groceries, more so than any year he's been in office. And I agree. I've never heard so much buzz about it. Daniels told the Business Council of Alabama's Government Affairs Committee on Tuesday morning, he says, I'm really excited about members of the legislature having conversations, including the lieutenant governor, who has a proposal he's pushing, and so we're certainly very excited about it and see what happens. He says, this is Daniels again. He said, I think we have to look at the elimination of the grocery tax. Same time, we have to make certain we're doing it in a way that doesn't cause us any long-term problems. In other words, what he's saying there is the old cautionary political statement of, well, we got to be careful because we might need that money in the future. Do you? You just passed the biggest budget ever. Daniels has been doing, I mean, I'll be honest with you, this is me talking now. Daniels has been doing a great job. I mean, he's the Democrat minority leader. He came on the show the other day talking about tax relief and getting people back to work and, you know, and increasing productivity and encouraging folks to get back in the workforce. And I thought, is he a Democrat? Because he sounds a lot more like a Republican, more than some of our other Republicans. But yeah, and I will say, tell you this, the grocery tax thing, what it's come down to now is definitions, just so you know. They got to figure out, how do we define what is, quote, grocery to relieve you of taxes? It won't be candy bars in the checkout line. It's going to be milk and bread and eggs and main staples. But then, even then, there's two versions in the law we have, the WIC definition and the SNAP definition. The push right now is to get the SNAP definition. Even the Grocers Association said they want it that way. All right, folks, plenty more of Home Fries when we get back from this. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got local, state, national, sometimes international. Oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Do you have the hiccups?
They just came out of nowhere, like just now.
They're like controlling your whole body.
You see them just jump, me jumping? Yeah. That's me. That's the hiccups.
It's like somebody's poking you over there. All right. Hey, we're going to keep moving forward. You want to text on in while we go, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. We're still in number one, Home Fries. Nice. So here's the next thing out there you might want to know, because a bill is about to become law unless the governor decides not to sign it. By the way, that's a technique. The governor has choices. She can sign the bill. She can make requested amendments and send the bill back for further consideration. or she can just veto the bill outright. And then there's a thing we call the pocket veto. That's where she just sits on it and does nothing. And if it doesn't get signed within a certain period of time after the legislative session is over, it's considered what they call a pocket veto. That's the old phrase, meaning she basically put it in her pocket and walked off. So anyway, we'll see what she does here. But the Alabama legislature, as of today, it's being reported, has passed a bill to ban smoking or vaping in a vehicle in which children under the age of 14 are present. So, okay, part of me says, you know, kids shouldn't have to be in a vehicle with a bunch of cigarette smoke riding down the road. I get it. Vaping, I mean, I've never vaped in my life, so does vaping create secondhand issues too? Boomer, do you have any idea? I don't know.
I actually do not know.
Not a vapor.
Not a vapor.
You have a vapor, but you're not a vapor. But we all got vapors occasionally. Oh, Lord. You give me the vapors. All right, so, but we now have a nanny state bill. That's where I have a problem with this. This is a nanny state bill. You know, this is getting way down in your business. Well, hello, Mr. Conducting a legal activity in your own vehicle. You can't do that as long as there's a 14-year-old there. How do we?
You can't control it.
Thank you.
At all. There's no way they can control that.
Yeah, I agree. And they do say it's going to be what's called a secondary violation, meaning if you get pulled over, and oh, by the way, you're speeding, and while they've got you, they say, and it appears you're smoking right now.
Well, how would they, I mean, other than if they're puffing right there, but I mean, how would they know? Because even in cars that have been smoked in before, that still resonates of smoke. So it's like,
it's got a vapor.
has that vapor. So it's like, oh, it appears you've been smoking. Well, yeah, I smoked yesterday, yeah. But my kid wasn't in the car. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, none of the ashtray cup there full of stubs and butts is, that's all old. That wasn't today. Good luck with that. But then you also got the child sitting in the back seat. Ma'am, how old is your child? 15.
They look 7. No, they're 15, sir.
Well, I'm going to see some ID. Well, he's a minor. He doesn't have ID. This is going to be problematic. All I know is Democrat Rolanda Hollis, I didn't give this bill a snowball's chance, and daggum if it didn't pass. So it's going to Governor Ivey. She's very excited. She talks about how she has asthma, got in her husband's truck. He's a smoker, couldn't breathe, got out of his truck, and thought, I got to pass a bill. This is how bad bills happen. All right, so there you go. We're going to have somebody on the show very soon. I've been conversing with them about the rocket. Ta-da!
I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to this. So, by the way, I've seen there's some serious movement right now on Save the Rocket. And for those of y'all that don't know, we're talking about going up I-65. The rest stop at the I-65 near the Tennessee line going northbound is, or is it southbound? It's on the southbound. Which side is it on?
It's on the southbound side.
It's on the southbound side, yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's right up there by the Tennessee line near Priceville, that area. They're talking about taking the rocket down. They're even talking about disposing of it. That's one of the only remaining Saturn V rockets in existence.
I'll take a piece.
Yeah, a piece?
If they're going to dispose of it.
This brings on a whole new idea.
Like, can we have each piece of the rocket?
Well, daggone, if they take it down, we better do that. But I say save it first.
Yeah, definitely save it.
Unless we can monetize this. No. But the reality is this. They're talking about taking it down. There's a very strong grassroots movement brewing right now with some serious heavyweights behind it that are talking about, and we're going to have somebody on the show here very soon. I've already been in dialogue with the person, but I'll save that for later. But I will tell you, in terms of home fries, is right now Senator Tom Butler from Huntsville has just dropped in a bill, Senate Bill 237. It's planning on basically dealing with the rocket issue. And I can't begin to describe to you exactly what the bill does. You know, we already have a Monument Preservation Act in Alabama. And people always talk about it. It's for saving racist statues. No, it's not. It's for saving monuments. It's for when stupid stuff happens. Like, oh, I don't know. You want to tear down the statue of Christopher Columbus. Well, he's a racist. Or when you want to change the name of a street that was named after Bear Bryant, for that matter. It's a monument. Anyway, I would argue, and I believe they are arguing in this bill, that the rocket is in fact a monument and needs to be protected. So Senator Butler, trying to confront the issue, has got a bill, Senate Bill 237, to address the rocket. It provides for protections. It provides for a replacement if they ever decide they had to take it down. You know, I'll just be honest. I'm not sure his bill is the way to go, but he does have the right sentiment. He says it's an iconic symbol of things that we've contributed to the nation and the world, and he's gotten lots of positive feedback on the legislation. So I need to dig into it and make sure I understand fully what it does before I say yay or nay to it. But in the end, my hope is we're going to save that rocket. I'm still there. You're there too, obviously.
Yeah, I'm all about it. And just wanted to correct you lightly that it is not a Saturn V. It is a Saturn 1B. That's what all the textures are saying.
Oh, my gosh. I did that last time too. Okay, yesterday I couldn't remember somebody's name, and I got 57 texts
like
that just flooded
instantly.
In. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to start giving out the wrong text line just to save myself from the embarrassment of being corrected. No, I kid. I can take it. All right. Here's a not so good news. All right, this is one. It's home fries, but it's also so frustrating. So I will say this: in Alabama, we do have, we don't have laws on the books that are soft on crime the same way you see in other states. We don't have as much of an issue with Soros-funded DAs. Although we do have one in the Birmingham area that are out there trying to let people out of jail because they can. But we still have issues. And we have some mandatory early release laws that probably need to get looked at again now. And I look back and wonder, did I do anything when I was in the legislature that contributed to something like this? But it's an awful situation. 1819 News has a piece out. Headline, man out on mandatory release was rearrested for allegedly raping the same woman that he was convicted of assaulting in 2018. He should not have been on the street, y'all. Should not. Bless her heart. It says a man released from an Alabama prison because of the state's mandatory early release law has been rearrested for allegedly raping the same woman he initially assaulted in 2018. The dude's name is Ronald Coley. He's a piece of trash. He was arrested early this month for first-degree rape, domestic violence assault, and interfering with an emergency call. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office took him into custody. They say he was supposed to have been out with an ankle monitor, but here's what they said. But he didn't show up for his fitting. Now, let me ask you this. Postulate with me, Boomer. When you're looking at some of the folks that are being given early release possibilities for good time served or whatever, what is your impression of whether or not they are the most reliable people to show up for an appointment to get fitted for their ankle monitor?
Well, they're not. Why don't they just give them the ankle monitor before they leave?
Thank you. My point exactly.
Like, why are they trying to give them a date and time to come when they know that they're most likely not going to show up?
Yeah. Or at the very least, be certain by putting it on them before they walk out the door of the prison.
Even if it's just a loner.
This is not hard.
No.
They're making rocket science out of this. But yeah, the dude did not have an ankle monitor on. He pled guilty to domestic violence strangulation in January 2018. He was sentenced to a 10-year split sentence. Based on the state's recommendation, though, he was released on probation for time served. His probation was then revoked in May of 2020 because he tested positive for meth, marijuana, failed to check in with his probation officer, didn't complete drug testing or go through his drug reform classes. He waived his parole hearing in November of 22, but then he was later released due to the state's mandatory release law. He spent fewer than 2 years in confinement. He got out, and the first thing he did was rape the woman, and now he's back in jail. Shouldn't have happened. Should not have happened. Last one I got for you on home fries. So Shipt is the company in Birmingham, major corporation. Shipt is a Birmingham-based grocery delivery service. They've been on the woke list, I'll be honest. Very proud of their growth, but they're certainly on the woke list. And today they announced, it says a story on AL Daily News, came out yesterday, that they announced a $1 million pledge to Birmingham Promise, which is a foundation that was started, I believe, by Mayor Woodfin, that has the goal of helping local students, get access to higher education, get tutors, help them to stay involved in school and finish their education. It's designed to basically just help kids through the educational process. The beef that I have with it is that it's designed to help kids of certain demographics or neighborhoods. Now, I understand underprivileged kids or kids from a disenfranchised background may have a harder time with school. I do. But when you start labeling scholarships by demographic or geographic areas, it sort of changes the dynamic. All that to say, though, it's still a neat thing. And I'm not carrying some kind of super beef with this, but I will say this. It's helped like $3.4 million in tuition assistance since 2020. 800 Birmingham graduates have been participants in the program. So that's kind of cool. So the article from AL Daily News talks about Shipt contributing $1 million to this. Very cool. Like that. And then the article just shifted and took a little shine off the apple. Wanted to make sure that we understood that in 2022's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Report, released on Tuesday morning, that the estimates are that the company's senior leadership is 73% people of color, 64% women. And 47% of the women are also people of color. And then something like $13.9 million are spent with diverse suppliers that include minority and women-owned businesses. And they awarded $242,000 to 15 local companies through their grant programs to address food insecurity. I'm thinking, what does that got to do? Why was that necessary? I ask rhetorically, but why was that necessary? We have a great article about giving scholarships to help kids through school, and they weren't content to leave it there. Then they had to jump right into DEI and talk about why it's so important that they understand the diversity in their labor force. Take me to a break before I lose my mind. I think we're going to switch gears. We're going to come back from this one, start getting into adventures in woke world. Oh, Lord, we got some wokeness. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.